As we're learning about transformation, we're hopefully seeing just what's available to every believer, no matter what they're calling, no matter where they start in God, that you've been born out of a species, the family of Adam, the human race, and born into a new family called the children of God, a completely different species. In the end, the miracle of salvation, that you started in one species, man, a dead species, the Bible says, and you end up in a species called the children of God, light, love, life, completely rebuilt everything around you, the new heaven, new earth, and you'll be standing there completely righteous in every way. That's the miracle of salvation. That's the end of salvation. No more death, no more sorrow, no more sadness, only joy and peace in that of the Lord. So we're talking today, and we're going to go and help understand some of the wording in why am I struggling, and where's the battle from? What happened when I got saved? Did it really work? That's a question many people have, that I thought when I got saved, I was not only going to go to heaven, but something was going to change in me. Well, something did change. You had a new nature. Your inner man became alive, but you're left with the outward body. And that's where the confusion comes with many believers, because they think that the outer body is still them, but it's not. I'm going to start in Romans chapter 8. We're going to talk about some of the wording. You were born into the family of Adam. That's where you came into existence. You didn't exist before your mom and dad made you. You were created or birthed by their choice. But you were born into a species with a nature of sin, a nature of darkness, or dead. The Bible actually says it's dead. Not dead like an animal on the road that's been run over dead, but dead as in death. It produces death. It's not alive even though it's breathing. That's the human race. They're not alive even though they're existing and breathing. In fact, I'm going to start over in Romans 5. Romans 5. We'll start there. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So you're born first to the first Adam, whose offense, whose sin, made death reign through the whole human race. But the same one, Jesus, the final Adam, allowed us to be born again out of the family of Adam and born into the family of God. We follow Jesus out of death into life. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulted in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. So Adam's sin resulted in condemnation. Now, that condemnation doesn't mean that you just feel bad about something. It means that you are condemned, like a prisoner is given a life sentence. They're condemned for life. There's no getting out. A prisoner is given a death sentence. We say they're condemned to death. They haven't been executed yet, but they are on the pathway of execution. They're condemned to death. There's no getting out. That's what it means by condemnation. There's no getting out of the human race. The human race, you were chained to that nature of sin, and there was no getting away from it, except through salvation, being born out of that family. So God is not trying to fix the human race. He's trying to rescue us out of the human race into this new family called the children of God. God created a new family through Jesus, being the firstborn, called the children of God, and invited you to be born out of the Adam family and born into the family of Christ. That is what salvation is. Verse 19, By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that offense may abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So the law came to tell the Jewish people they needed a Savior. So with that, God could send a Savior through them, for them, and for the whole human race. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So sin reigned through death. That's your old nature of sin. Sin reigned through you because you had a nature of sin. That's what you were. But now, because of righteousness, because of the new nature you received when you were born again, eternal life reigns, grace reigns in your life because of that new nature of righteousness. What shall we say then? Chapter 6. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? So now that I'm a new creature, do I remain in sin? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, you were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So Jesus came to our place of death in the human race, and then was resurrected in life and brought up to heaven. He was resurrected from death to life. He came to meet us in our place of death so we could follow him to his place of life. That's the amazing love of the Father and the love of Jesus for you. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So he became like us in death so that we could become like him in resurrection of life. Knowing this, verse 6, that our old man, so old man, I underlined old man, was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with. So these two comments, old man, our old man, and body of sin, these are referring to the old nature of sin. See, you only have one nature in you. It was sin, but when you were born again, it was quickened, and now it is life, righteousness. So you only have one nature. Many people get confused because they think maybe the body has a nature. That's why it desires sin. No, the body does not have a nature. It is the leftover. It was not rescued, and that's what we're going to find out here. And I'm focusing on old man because we're going to see that word old man quite a bit. Knowing this, that our old man was, past tense, crucified with him. So at salvation, the old man, the old nature, was crucified with him. That the body of sin, that the body of sin means the old nature is the generator of sin that caused you to be condemned to sin. You didn't have a choice. Just like my puppy dog has a nature of a puppy dog. It has no choice but to be a puppy dog. You can't help it. It's its nature. You, before you were saved, had a nature of sin, were condemned to that nature of sin. You couldn't help being that species. That's how you were born. But now that you're born again, the old man, the old nature was crucified and the body of sin was done away with. So the source, the drive that you couldn't stop, you couldn't stop sinning because you had the nature of sin. That's what the law was for, to show the Jewish people that they had something working in them, even though they desired to be righteous. They couldn't be because there was something working in them that condemned them to be a sinner. That was the nature of sin, the body of sin, the old man. So in verse 6 here, it says, our old man was crucified. So it has already been crucified, and the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. See, a slave to sin means you were chained, condemned to that old nature, and you couldn't get away from it. No matter how much you tried, you can never be a child of God because you were at a nature of Adam. You had to be born again. And then once you got born again, the nature of sin, the old man, was actually crucified, nailed to the cross of Jesus. Jesus came to that place of death so we could be with him, and then we could follow him in the resurrection out of death into life. So you now have a nature of light and righteousness and no nature of sin. your body, this outward man, we're going to read here. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing this, Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more death. No more death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. So here is the overall picture. You went to the altar, a sinner, completely dark. Everything about you was dead. It was already dead. Humans are a dead species. They're already stamped in death. They're existing. They'll exist forever. But they're in a family of death, of darkness. The only way for God to rescue us was not to fix. He couldn't fix the human race. He had to make a new family, a new species. And that's why Jesus had to become through the human race so that we could follow him out into this new species called the children of God, a species of light, of righteousness. So now when you ask Jesus in your heart, you received that nature of righteousness and the old man, the old nature of sin that you were born with, that body of sin that pushed and commanded you be a sinner, was put to death, was crucified to the cross, nailed to the cross. It was abolished, destroyed, quickened means it turned into righteousness. And you now have a new nature of righteousness. You no longer have a nature of sin, meaning that you're not condemned, tied to sin. You're not a slave anymore where you have to do it. You've been born again. You have a nature of righteousness. And we've learned that your inner body also was quickened and brought to life. But we've also learned that our outward body, the mortal body, was left in darkness, left dead. It wasn't fixed. So you're wearing the outward body of the old species of Adam. And that's where all the appetites and desires of sin comes from. The body does not have a nature of sin. It only has the stain, the leftover stain of the nature of sin. It's the old wineskin. It's been left in darkness. It's only dark. It's still death. It's still dead. It's still of the species of Adam. But your inner man has been born again, which makes you of the species of Christ, of the children of God. And that's where your battle comes from, of desires that are left over from the old man, which will help us understand some of the terminology we're going to get into. And now let's go to Romans 8. And we'll just read here verse 10. We'll start in verse 10. And if Christ is in you, so if that's Christ in you is the new nature. If you have that new nature in you, that nature of righteousness, it says the body is dead. Now, if you look at your body, it's still moving, it's still breathing. Praise God, it's still working. So it's not dead as in a dead animal, it's death. It was left in the species of darkness, the species of Adam. It was left in its original state. So the body, the outward body, was not fixed at your salvation, was not quickened. It was left in darkness. But then it says, because of sin. So in Christ in you, the body is dead because of sin. So it's been stained and left in that original state of darkness, of death. But the spirit, this word spirit here is talking about your inner body, is life because of righteousness. So the inner body is now alive because of the new nature. So you have an inner man that's alive. When we talk about bodies, remember, it includes the part of the mind, emotions, and desires of the soul. So the natural man, the natural body that you're wearing, has been stained and created with and by that nature of the old man of sin. And when you were saved, God took the old man, the body of sin, and crucified it. That's what happened when you asked Jesus in your heart. You received that nature of righteousness. And it brought to life your inner man, but left your outward body in the same condition. It's still the family of Adam. Your inner man is in the family of God. The nature is in your inner body. That's why it says that it's in your heart. That's why when your body falls off of you, you go with your inner man, with whichever nature is your father. So if you're not born again, the devil is your father. You go to hell, because that's where sin goes. But if your nature is righteousness and God is your father, you go to heaven. So the body is left dead. And we're working on terminology today about the old man and understanding why it says the old man is crucified, was crucified. So a preacher might say to you, you've been freed from sin, so just stop it. And so you say, okay, great. I'm a child of God. I'm born of God. I'm righteousness. I'm not going to sin anymore. Praise God. Then all of a sudden you hear that little tap on the door of your thought saying, hey, let's do this, let's do that. And you're confused. Why am I desiring sin if the old man has already been put to death and the body of sin has been put away with? Why am I desiring sin? What am I trying to put off? The moment you're born again, you're no longer a slave to sin. So you don't have to sin, but you want to sin. That's why you give in to it. The power of transformation is it works on your want to as well. You're still accountable if you give in to it. But too many people judge themselves because they have these desires, thoughts against God towards sin, and they think there's something wrong with them. Well, no, you're still wearing the dead body. This body was not rescued. And verse 11 tells us when it's going to be rescued. But if the spirit of him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, if you have that new nature in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will quicken or give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit which dwells in you. So through the new nature, it's already paid for, the new body. That means when the trumpet sounds, because you have the new nature, you will get your new body. And the old body that's dead will become alive like your new nature did and also like your inner body did. All right, so if you've been listening to the Transformation Series, what I said just made complete sense to you. If not, go back and listen to the Transformation Series. Let's look over at Galatians chapter 5. We'll start in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, so the fruit of the new nature, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there's no law. You don't need a law to tell you how to live because you have a new nature, that the fruit will come forward and you'll be love. You'll be joy. This is a love from God, not from this earth. Verse 24, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So here it's saying that those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh. So it is talking past tense. Have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Well, what is it? Is it dead or is it alive? Like, it's still speaking to me. It's alive. So the whole principle of mortification means that because you have a new inner man, you've been born again, the old man, the nature, has been crucified already. It's already gone. It's already dead. You no longer have a nature of sin. But it has left its passions and desires in the natural soul of the outward body. So you are working against the natural soul of your body, the outward man that has been left dead, left in darkness, has not been brought to life. So dead, again, does not mean not breathing, not in existence. It means it's of a death species. It's a darkness. It produces death. And so the passions and desires have stained the outward body, And more than that, it is where the outer body came from. So it hasn't been rescued. One of the confusions of in the body of Christ is that we're trying to fix up our outward man. That God wants me to take my outward mind, my outward emotions, and make it be like Jesus. It can never be like Jesus because it's not born of Jesus. It's born of Adam. It will always remain a human. It'll always remain of that species. So that's why we mortify the deeds and desires of the outward man, because God's not trying to rescue, because it is of a different species. Many Christians, they've learned to serve God through their natural intellect, their natural emotions. That's how they learn to serve God, and it understands religion. And it's kind of like when they go worship God, they feel, I need to bring a gift before I worship God. And it's religious. It reminds me of when I hear Christy, my wife, scream because our dog caught a mouse out in the backyard and killed it and brought it in to lay it at her feet as a gift. I brought you a gift, Mom. Look what I did. I killed a mouse. Aren't you proud of me? Don't you love this gift? Don't you want to put it in a box and put it by your bedpost because I brought it to you? That's something a dog would do to another dog. It's proud of its kill, that it killed a mouse. And it's chewed on it. It's, you know, and for a while before, and brought it in and laid it at my wife's feet. And she's screaming, get this out of here. There's a dead animal in here. Our dog is proud as can be. Because in dog language, that's a great gift. But in human language, especially wife language, it's not a great gift. Well, that's kind of how many people are approaching God. They're approaching God through their natural man's ability and desires of a different species. And they're bringing God gifts thinking he's going to be pleased. He fellowships with your inner man because he's the father of your inner man. He's the father of your spirit man. He's the father of your spirit. He's not the father of your outward man, the flesh. But many people spend their whole life serving God, fellowshipping with God, attempting to fellowship with God from their outward man. Your outward man, the outward emotions, has passions and desires that are very much alive in the sense that they're speaking to you, but they're from a dead species of darkness. So that's why it uses the language, we have crucified the old man. We have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So the nature has been put to death, but it's the creature of the outward body is still from that old nature. So we're not trying to repair or fix the outward man, the outward thinking. We're actually trying to mortify its thoughts. That's why when the Holy Ghost speaks to you, teaches you, it's to your inner man. That's why when he strengthens you, it's to your inner man. That's why when he renews you in knowledge, it's to your inner man. Because as your inner man grows, it's in the same species as God. It is as Christ, as this new family, the children of God. That's why he can now speak to you spirit to spirit. Because you are in the same family. But your outward body was left in the old family, the old species. It's of a different species. So it's not that it has to be fixed. It can't be fixed. It has to be mortified, made to bow its knee to the inner man, to who Christ says you are. So the desires and passions, deeds of the flesh, the outward body, are in the natural soul. And they're there because God did not rescue it. He did not quicken it. He will when the trumpet sounds. But until then, we have to suffer and we have to make it bow its knee. That's the mortification process, that we make it bow its knee in the way it thinks, the way it feels, to the real you who's been born again. Let's go over to Ephesians, our regular verses here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. So the confusion is, do I have an old man? Is the old man talking about the old nature? Well, if it's in past tense, is talking about the old nature. But if it's in now, that you put it off now, is talking about the leftover, because It's not so much that the old nature stained the outward body and it can't be fixed as much as the old nature created the outward body. It created the inward body. The old nature of sin was the species that the outward body was left in. So the outward man, emotions, intellect, body, is of the family of Adam still. It has not been quickened or fixed. That's why we have to manage it, put it down, make it obey, deny it, resist it, take those temptations, those desires and passions, because it's still trying to lead your life. And put off concerning the old former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. So the old man here is talking about the outward body, the leftover of the old nature. Verse 23, and being renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So now we're putting on. Well, I thought I had a new nature. What do you mean put it on? Well, it means the new nature is like a seed, and it has to grow. The love of God isn't automatic. You don't get born again and all of a sudden you have a full tank of the love of God. No, you have to go grow the love of God into your inner man. And with that love of God, you confront the outward man's hate and fake love, and you mortify him. So that's why we put on the new man. Well, the new man means the new nature, but also means what comes from the new nature. The old man means the old nature of sin, but also means what came from the old nature. And that's why when you see past tense and in scripture, we'll see sometimes it refers to the old man in past tense, but then it tells you at the same time, put off the desires. Well, which is it? Well, the old man is the old nature. But when it's talking about putting it off, it's talking about what's left in this, the leftover from that old nature is the outward body. It was left in darkness. It was not rescued. You're not trying to fix it. You're trying to mortify it. You're not trying to make it think like God. You're trying to make it shut up. And that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So the new man was created in true righteousness and holiness. That's your inner body. The inner body is where all the knowledge of God goes, all the love of God goes. It's the holder. It's the treasure chest that the treasures of God go into. Therefore, verse 25, putting away lying. So you see, knowing that I have this old man, the old nature has now been done away with. I no longer have a nature of sin. I'm no longer a slave to obey it because I have a nature of righteousness. So the leftover is my outward body, outward soul, outward emotions and intellect and desires are constantly trying to pull me away from what God wants for me. So that's why I have to put it off because it grows corrupt. If I leave my flesh and take it, the church is still going to grow corrupt. It must be bridled and made to bow its knee to God, to the will of God, to the word of God. Now we're going to go over to Colossians. And we'll see here more clear what I'm talking about. We just read in Ephesians, we have to put off lying. Like you have to actively put off lying. Now we're over in Colossians in verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. So here it is in the past tense. So what is it? Well, even here we can just see in these few verses, it goes back and forth to past tense to do it now. And so why is there confusion? Well, it's simple. I'm trying to explain that. The old man in the past is talking about the old nature of sin, the old man, the body of sin that produced and controlled you as a sinner because it was your nature. That has been already put to death and already quickened into righteousness. You no longer have a nature of sin. Your outward body does not have a nature. Your outward body was left as the creature of the old man. So it is still breathing, and thank God for that. So when it says dead, it doesn't mean you went up to the altar and then poof, you fell over dead and went right to heaven. No, God wants us on the earth. That's why he left us in this body, so we could help win people to Christ and have an effect on this earth. He didn't leave you on this earth so you can just have the best life now. He left you on this earth so you could bring people to heaven with you. So in chapter 3, verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you have put off, this is like Galatians, you put off the old man with his deeds. But let's go up to verse 1 of chapter 3. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Now, we've taught before when he says, look for things of above. He's not talking about, you know, in our Christian language, we have love is good, hate is bad. So we think that loving is a godly attribute. But he's saying here, no, there's a love from God and there is a love from this world, and they're not the same. I have a dog. We love our dogs. Our dogs are great. But the love of my puppy dog is not in the same category as the love as my daughter, Ava. When she gives me her love, it's a different species. Well, you have the ability to love from the species of Adam, the dead species, because you're wearing the body and the emotions and the intellect still that was not brought to life. It's not a real love. It's a love of a species that's not the same as the love of God. So when it says, seek those things which are above, he's saying you need to go to God and get from God his love. How do we do that? We grow it in our spirit from our new nature into our inner body. That's where the love of God comes. So seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So you died the day you accepted Jesus. The person you went to the altar as died that day. The same way Adam walked up to the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and God said, if you eat of this fruit, you will surely die. He ate of the fruit. That moment, his nature turned dark. He went from a species of light to a species of darkness. So he died, but yet Adam was still there. He remembered the day before. He didn't reboot. He died, but was still there. Well, the same thing happened to you in the opposite. When you went to the altar, you went up one species, and when you asked Jesus in your heart, you were resurrected from that species of death of Adam and resurrected as a child of God. You died the same way Adam did. You still remember the day before, but you became a new creature, a new species, the person that your parents birthed died the day you were born again. But you were left with the outward body that was not quickened, and it has passions and desires. That's the natural soul. Set your mind on things above, verse 2, not on things of this earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death or mortify your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passions, evil desires, and covetousness, which is adultery. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. So I want you to see that he's given us a job, an active job to do, which is mortify, put to death the members which are on this earth, this body, the desires of this body. I have to put them to death. They weren't killed when I was born again. I was left in this body from another species, and it desires things of this world. But I am a new creature inside of that body, and I have to put its desires to death. It doesn't have a nature. It has desires. That's the natural soul. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. Verse 8, but now you yourself are to put off. So we are to put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. So that's active. You are to put these off. If you have to put it off, it means it's still there. It didn't disappear. And then he switches to say, do not lie to one another, verse 9, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. So the reason why it goes to past tense is because it's saying the old man, the source, the nature of sin has been put away with already. That's what accepting Jesus did. It killed the old nature of sin and brought it to life to a new nature. You now have a new nature of righteousness. You're no longer condemned, bound, a slave to sin anymore. But yet the leftovers of that old nature is the outward body. The old man is still around. That is the outward body. And it's not because we're trying to fix the outward body. It's because we're trying to mortify the outward body. We don't live through our natural man. We're supposed to live through our inner man. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. The deeds of the old man, meaning it's no longer you that you're fighting. That voice of wrong desire, that voice of insecurity or pride of the natural man that you're wearing is not you. That's why I love, he says, you have put off the old man with his deeds. So it's telling you the body you're wearing, quit calling it you, call it him or her, but it is no longer who you are. You're not wrestling trying to fix it. You're trying to make it bow its knee to the truth of who you became the moment you were born again. In verse 10, and have, past tense, put on the new man. So now it says, I have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So the new man is the inner body. I put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image. The image is the new nature. When you see image, righteousness, that's talking about the new nature, because that's the image of Christ is in the new nature. So I have the image of Christ. I am to put on the new man. I'm to begin to bring forward the attributes of the new nature into my life. Love, joy, peace, holiness. I bring them forward while I am to put off the attributes, mortify the attributes that are left over from the old nature. I don't have a nature of sin, and your body does not have a nature of sin, but it has desires left over because it is still of the species of Adam. And I put on, verse 10, the new man, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, which created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. So you are born again as a child of God. Doesn't matter what family you came from. Doesn't matter who are your parents. Doesn't matter what country you're from. You are now a child of God. Heaven is your country. Heaven is your passport. Heaven is your home. When we get to heaven, we're not going to be Canadian or American. We're going to be children of God. Therefore, verse 12, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, here's the word, put on. There's put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God, see, this is the fruit of the Spirit. So when it says put it on, it's not that I am reaching out to heaven to grab the peace of God and putting it on. It means that I am to become that. I take from my new nature, the new man, the new nature, the image of God, and in my new man, the inner body, I am to bring forward the fruit of that new nature. So the new nature is like a seed. It's not, it's complete, but I am not complete. I don't have the love of God complete in me or the peace of God. I have to get that. How do I get that? I cause the new nature to grow in me, in my inner man. So the love of God comes forward. That's putting it on. How do I make it come forward? I hate to tell you, pray in tongues, worship, You can try to force it. I choose the love of God. I choose the love of God. I tell my story of how we had someone crashed into our car and the insurance covered the repair. And they got us a rental car. And when I went to rent the car, they asked for my credit card. And I said, the insurance is paying for this car. And they said, oh, I know, it's just procedure. You need to give us a card. We won't charge it. And we didn't have a lot of money at the time. So I was a little bit concerned. I said, listen, you promise me you will not charge this card. I promise you. The guy promised me they would not put any charge on that card. Well, after I returned the car, after our car was fixed, a little while later on, we got a credit card charge for $300 from the company. Well, I marched down there, and here I am, a preacher of love. And I marched down there and I said, excuse me, but there's a charge on here and I need you to remove it. And he looked at it and with other clients in there and he said, I'm sorry, sir. It's not my fault. It's the corporation did it. You'll have to call them. Well, I became irate and embarrassed him and called him a liar in front of the other clients. Like, listen, you promised me. You're the one who promised me. You're the one who's going to fix this. And for $300, I found out I didn't have the love of God. If it was $299, maybe I had the love of God. But $300 at that time, I was willing to embarrass you, throw away my reputation as a man of God to get my $300 back. And at the time, it was $300 was a lot of money. It still is. But it was like, I didn't care about that man's salvation at the point. I was right, and I needed to get my money back. And I embarrassed him and called him a liar. And he fixed it, and I walked away with my $300, but I lost the love of God. So when it says to put on the love of God, it means that you don't have it automatically. You just can't choose the love of God. You have to grow the love of God. You have to become the love of God. Before you were saved, it was impossible. It was impossible for you to love like God loves, to have peace like God has. It was impossible for you to think like God thought, to be holy like God is. Because you are of the species of Adam. You had the old man in you, the old nature, the body of sin, controlling you, forcing you to always remain a sinner, a species of darkness, worshiping a God of light. But when you were born again, you received the nature of light, and that old man was crucified, meaning it's dead, it's gone. The old nature is gone. You have a nature of light. But what's left over is the body of sin, this outward man, which contains a natural soul that was not quickened or brought to light. So it is left in darkness. It was left dead because of the sin that it is from. It is a byproduct of the old nature. So we're not trying to fix it. We're not trying to redeem it. We're trying to make it bow its knee to who you are in Christ. How do we do that? Well, he tells us the whole picture of transformation. We put on the new man. We go into prayer. We go into worship. And we bring the love of God grows in us. And as we obey that and submit to that, we're also at the same time mortifying the desires of the outward man, the root cause of in our natural soul of why we desire sin or pride or jealousy or envy. We put it to death. Therefore, verse 12, as the elect of God, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. So he's not saying to act like it. He's saying to cause it to grow. Put it on. Make it who you are. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone, I should have read this before I marched down to the car guy. Forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So there's a pathway of transformation, of putting off and putting on. And when we read, when it goes into, you have put off the old man, it's simply saying the nature is already dead. And then it says, now put on the old man now. He's saying that means the effects of the old man is this outward body and its desires and deeds that we have been left with because it has not been rescued yet. But be encouraged that there will be a time when the trumpet sounds that you'll get a new body. And when that happens, you'll have no more fight, no more desires to sin, no more desires to jealousy or envy, pride. You'll be completely light. But until then, we are to deny ourselves, deny the flesh, its desires. The old body, this body that you're wearing, is going to fall off of you one day. Unless Jesus comes first. And then in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, you receive a new outward body. So when you see the old man, understand, you only have one nature. That nature, if you're born again, is righteousness. That's the image of Christ in you. And it will grow forward into your inner body. The inner man was also quickened. So you now can know God and love like God. And that love and peace of God can grow inside of you so much that it will overtake and you can put off the old man. You deny it until you can mortify it. And once you mortify it, it's not speaking to you anymore. Paul, in prison, talks about the joy of the Lord, the peace of God. He wasn't even praying to get out of prison. He was praying, worshiping, because he was happy to serve God. His outward experiences did not dictate the inward peace and joy that came from his inner man. Jesus, asleep on the ship while the storm is hitting and these old hardened sailors were thinking they were going to drown, wake him up, and he rebukes the storm. But his peace, the peace that Jesus had, let him sleep through the storm. Because the idea is, if God sent me somewhere, I'm going to get there no matter what comes against me. That's the peace of God. Well, that very peace of Jesus is the peace that we are to put on. That's not of this world. That's of another world. That's from above. That's what's available to you. Let's keep praying. Let's keep worshiping and keep trusting that you are on a good path. If you don't give up, you will never be the same. Thank you so much for spending time with me. I appreciate you. I love you, and I will see you soon. God bless.